Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Christopher Hooton for The Independent, and welcome to Kernels. Now on the pod this week, we've got an actor who, if I was asked to draw up a list of people I'm like looking to get on the pod or looking forward to having on, Adam Driver would definitely be, you know, in the top three. He's one of my favourite actors of his generation, I think, and he's just got such a kind of unique magnetism to him that I enjoy even in the films that are not so good. I mean, I think he's actually makes very good choices in roles and rarely does a bad film, but even the less good ones, I still... I'm always intrigued when he's on the screen and he always kind of manages to salvage something from it. A really good example of this is a film called This Is Where We Leave You, which you might have caught, kind of a plain movie type film, and it's just okay. But there's a scene in particular where a few characters are outside on the lawn. It's like a wake and they're having this very kind of stock conversation and you're kind of falling asleep. And then he just bounds into the scene and just livens it up. And yeah, he has this kind of, brings such personality to his roles and a likableness, but also just kind of like a, he's like a puppy in a way. And in terms of how he acts, I mean, this is something we talk about a little bit, but he's kind of got this really kind of spontaneous vibe going on. Like, it's almost as if he's surprised by every line that's given to him, which sounds like it's a pejorative thing, but it's quite the opposite because, you know, the core of good acting is giving the impression that you've never heard what's being said to you before, and I think he does that very well on bouncing off what he hears and what people say to him. So he was in town this week for Logan Lucky, which had its premiere, and this is Steven Soderbergh's new film. It's like a heist movie. Steven Soderbergh you might know from Ocean's 11, Erin Brockovich, Behind the Candelabra, Side Effects, TV show The Nick. He's executive produced a ton of films as well. But he kind of came back out of his retirement to make this movie, which is essentially like Ocean's 11 again, but like a redneck version. I think Ocean's 7-Eleven it's been called. And it's a fun little movie. I think it's a very difficult movie to dislike. You know, it grabs you from the opening and you're into this heist plan and it's like very rough around the edges. Kind of the opposite of Ocean's 11 in that way. You know, these people trying to pull off this robbery at a NASCAR track, you know, they don't really know what they're doing, but you're rooting for them. And Adam plays Clyde, this like one-armed bartender with a prosthetic arm who's sort of strangely the brains of the situation, if anyone can be called that amongst the family at the center of the film. So yeah, I should mention just before we dive into the interview that the financial strategy around this film is a major part of it. It's kind of what made Steven Soderbergh do it in a way. So it's like it's a mid-sized budget film, which you don't see many of anymore. You know, it's usually tiny films or massive tentpole $250 million films. This one I think was $29 million. And he basically like said, fuck you to the studio system, funded it himself, you know, trimmed off all the, what he saw as fat, like these big marketing budgets that he thinks are unnecessary, and doing loads of pre-screenings and testing it on target audiences, like said, like, we don't need that. Let's do this for the smallest amount we can do. Let's be savvy about where we spend the money, and then let's get some funding on board, sell it to distributors, and just leave Warner Brothers, etc. out of this. And it's something he obviously told the cast about early on, and everyone in Hollywood is watching to see if this gamble pays off, basically. So there's that. And then the other thing I should brief you on, just because we mentioned it briefly, is this list that Steven Soderbergh keeps that I'll tweet out, but if you've not seen it on his blog, every year he posts a complete list of everything he's consumed in terms of art for that year. So TV shows, films, plays, books, all, you know, concise and with the date for each one. So yeah, when I bring that up, that's what I'm referring to. But that's enough blabbering. I think we should just get straight down to this interview. I really enjoyed doing it. Adam's really a kind of humble and open-hearted man. and very smart about, I think, his process and not overthinking his process. So I hope you enjoy our chat, and I'll see you on the other side.
It's that kind of awkward moment there where I saw you in the lift and I was like, I'm going to speak to you in a second. Do I say hello now?
Oh, wow. Oh.
These things are full of awkward moments, they see.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're not too bad. How long are you in town for?
I'm not sure. I think 48 hours.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And congratulations on the film. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
My favorite line of yours was just the word yep.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-uh.
It's where Daniel Craig's character's like, so you're just going to break me out, and you're kind of like, yep. I had to go back and watch that. when you come to work on a film like this with someone like Steven Soderbergh, I was talking to David Lowery recently, who directed A Ghost Story, mm-hmm. and he was saying how, I was asking about how Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck got involved in the project, and he was saying he just texted Casey like, do you want to come and be in this weird movie? And Casey was like, yeah. And that he accepted before he'd really read the script. Is there an element of that when you get the call from someone like Steven and you kind of trust the creator so much and they're where they come from that you almost don't need to see the script in a way because you're excited to work with them?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to read the script and connect with the character so you can be, you know, you can help, you know. But yeah, there is a bit of, you know, even if you don't understand it and it's a total failure for yourself, at least it'll be probably an interesting failure.
Yeah, true. And then did he talk about the strategy earlier on for the producing the film and financing and everything?
He did, yeah. One of our first meetings, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. And that obviously excited you and interested you that he's trying to...
Yeah, it was just an extra layer of interest. Like he was what initially interested me about doing it, then that it was this kind of that he had total control of how it was marketed and how it was released and who was paying for it. I thought was just made it all the more interesting.
Yeah, and it's the first time you've worked with him, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How did you like find it? What was his idiosyncrasies on set? And
I loved it. I don't know idiosyncrasies, but the more of just how the pace in which he works, where, you know, he's operating the camera, he's kind of has like a general lighting idea that is all basically using what's in the room, and because of which he controls the pace of the set. It's so fast. There's almost every day was like, let's break for lunch and that's a wrap. You know, we like finished it 4 or 5 hours early because his. He's so economical in the way it works, so it there's not a lot of time wasted, you know, which is good for the actors because there's a good momentum that it creates on set. But it also is just, I mean, this is a very boring word, but I keep going back to it, is economical. So then you compare it to other sets you've been on, and it seems almost wasteful in a way.
In terms of moving between the different setups, this is quick, is it?
Yeah, well, there's just a lot of time wasted with a lot of people doing different... I mean, not that you kind of need those. You need a crew, obviously, and his crew is very good. But there's nothing in excess, you know. Mm. And I think it makes it feel like more of a job, and it's easier to stay focused, and you don't have to do as much work. Finding the groove that you went into before lunch, you know, or after lunch when everyone's like, you know, full of meatball sandwiches or whatever,
yeah.
Not as focused, you know. He creates a great momentum. And also in the cast, because it is so ensemble and there's not a lot of time to get to know each other beforehand, everyone's already staying on set anyway. So the kind of camaraderie, I guess, that's created on set works its way into the movie.
Yeah. Because it helps as well that he's so hands-on, like you say, being behind the camera, that he's kind of involved in every aspect of it. So
yeah. And that he's weirdly aware of everything that's going on, but extremely focused. He's one of the few people I've met that it can very easily balance both, where he's completely, there's so much chaos going on around him, but he's very much like the center of a storm, I would say. But at the same time, is aware of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Not that it's a better way, it's just an interesting
just a different way.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about your character, like, because obviously it's a straight up heist movie, I think I kind of expected him initially to be a bit like skeptical of like his brother's plan and like not sure, but he's just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
And what was it you liked when you were reading the script, the drew you to the character?
I liked that his thoughtfulness against Jimmy's kind of impulsiveness. I thought that was funny, that he seemed very, he needed to think a lot before he could actually do anything.
Yeah, I guess he's like as close to any character comes to Sage, it would be him, I suppose. He thinks a little bit more.
Yeah.
And how did it work with the arm, the prosthetic arm one? How was that all?
There was like a lot of different versions of it. When it was just like kind of the outsized hand, it was just my hand underneath it, you know, and they had to take a cast of everything is hard plastic on top, and then the, you know, a latex hand that they put on top that you just kind of have to pretend is solid. And then there's another for the actual arm. When I take it off, they have like a green sleeve that, you know, I wear all the way up to the top of my shoulder, and then there's a prosthetic that bends at the elbow that kind of extends from where my elbow would be because it's a transradial amputee. Does that make sense? So it's like a green sock all the way up to here, and then there's like a sleeve that goes over that it's a prosthetic of. So then you kind of have to act with this big kind of tumor feeling thing hanging out.
I was going to say it must be hard to act as if you're missing, you know, off your arm. Like, can't be consciously walk around in that.
Yeah, to make it look like you're not having just one hand just randomly in the air.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It was very helpful.
Yeah. I was thinking about your general kind of acting style, which I think is like very defined, and it seems kind of spontaneous, which kind of is at the core of acting, really. You want it to feel like it's, and you kind of, your characters often seem kind of surprised and they look somewhat dazed. I wonder if that's like something you've honed, or there's something, I don't know, endemic in you.
I don't know. I always feel, I guess with acting, it sounds like actor school, me saying this, but it is a lot of reacting. And if you're working with a lot of great people, then it's for me, the most fun thing is not doing as much work as you can and then getting on set and trying to forget everything and then try to be surprised. Even take to take, you have to, like, you know, flush out what all thoughts, all responsibilities, all... everything has to be drained, and then it's another take, and then they have to drain that, you know. I don't know. It's always good to be surprised on set, and I like watching actors that I like are always kind of seem to be discovering it for the first time in front of me.
So. Yeah. To that end, do you like do a lot of your preparation much before, so when you're literally in your trailer or coming out, you're actually at that point you're allowing your mind to wander to other places, and then you settle back into it when you get on set? Or
it kind of varies from thing to thing, but yeah, I always try to do as much homework as you possibly can, to know as much as you possibly can, so if anything, just to calm down your nerves, that you show up on set prepared and available for everybody else. But you can have an idea of what a scene is going to go, but it's not just a scene of yourself. There's other people, so they have their ideas, and you can't, and they could be even better, so you can't come on to set, or I feel like I can't come on to set with how it's supposed to be and try to push everybody else into my direction. Like, you can only know so much as you can, but then you have to be willing to let it go, even if all the homework you've done is useless. If you show up on that, you have to be prepared, I think, for that you have done all this work, you know how to, you know, make a martini with one hand in this instance, but then, you know, you didn't take into consideration that's, you know, the
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bar is a different height. So then you got to kind of, like, all that work that you did at this level, you just have to be comfortable to let go of.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Did you spend a lot of time practicing making martinis and that kind of thing, just so it feels like it feels natural when you're doing it?
Yeah, he's been doing it for, I mean, maybe not martinis specifically in, that, in that area, but he's been a bartender with one hand for a while. So we have to tell a lot of history in the 2 months that we had to shoot.
Yeah. I was listening to an interview recently with Edie Falco from The Sopranos, an amazing actress. And she was saying that she was talking about preparation and that sometimes there's such this there can be too much preparation with a scene partner.
Sure.
And that she doesn't actually want to talk about all their motivations and how did they get here and stuff. I wonder how what your relationship is to that kind of stuff.
Again, it depends on the thing. Like I like both, and I try to like do what everybody else is doing. Like very much a follower in that sense. Like, along with the idea of just because I've done maybe a lot of work or maybe not a lot of work, that doesn't mean I can't impose that on somebody else. So if they like to work a different way, then I kind of adapt to it. But I like both. In this instance, like there was hardly any talk before we were doing it, even from take to take. There's not a lot of talk. Everyone just does their job and then goes home. There's not a like, you know, what's my motivation? Everyone was very prepared and professional, but there wasn't a lot of dialogue surrounding it, even leading up to it. Like the first time we kind of heard each other talk as our characters was really like on set, you know. There was not little rehearsal at all beforehand. And I like both versions. Then there's like someone like Noah Baumbach or he's just the person that comes to mind where it's, you know, take after take and you can do 40 takes of a scene. And there's also immense freedom in that there's a very strong structure, but you still have a lot of room to interpret the lines. Like the lines are the lines, you know, but how you mean them could be is an infinite amount of way. There's no right answer. And it's not my decision of what the final call is, you know.
Yeah.
But this is very much like first impulses, first takes. A lot of things were first takes in this. I'm not sure if it made it in. There's like a scene where I'm talking to Jimmy when the money goes everywhere in like the cave, and there's like a bunch of, you know, oneers in that, and there's like driving the car through the convenience store was, you know, one take, you know. A lot of just first impulses with it, which I think is also an interesting way to work.
You saying you would
like, I have no set way, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. You adapt to people. If people were adapting to you, what is there one that you'd lean towards, or do you think you kind of switch it up in your approaches?
Yeah, I switch it. It also depends on what it is. You know, sometimes it's not such a deep dive. You know, like but it all kind of. The only thing that I really keep consistent is knowing my lines.
You know?
But even then, some people like to throw the lines out. So, I know my lines and show up on time. And apart from that, what everybody else is kind of doing, I kind of adapt. Sometimes you need to focus, I guess, a bit more and take ownership of, you know, your personal space on set. But I try not to get too involved in that sometimes because you're kind of closing yourself off to maybe a better idea.
Yeah. I love that Noah Baumbach movie you made, by the way, While We're Young. I think it's one of my favorites.
Good.
I try and watch it periodically. It puts me in a good mindset somehow.
Yeah, he's really great. A lot of his movies are... I was just thinking about this the other day, are very much process driven. Even they're about some kind of, I mean, there's always like characters going, he doesn't sacrifice his ideas for, you know, really great characters and story, but there is something about, there's a lot of process, like a creative process in his movies. Even While We're Young, I thought was very subtle and like.
It's a lot about like growing up, isn't it? And coming to realizations, I think, maybe later in life and that kind of thing.
But also about, I guess, what we're talking about, like a preciousness of an older generation, or not even an older generation, but a way of working where you can get almost like in Josh's case in that movie with Ben Stiller's character, you overanalyze the shit out of everything you're working on that you're almost handicapped by it. You can't. You're not going, you're working on the same fucking thing. You're stuck in the same rut because you're making it too precious. So then there's the Jamie aspect, which is maybe less authentic, where he appropriates everybody else's hard work, but at the same time, he's able to churn out like work faster, you know, and it's still, there's a, you know, talent, but, and is there an authentic way to work on something or is there not? And I think about that all the time.
Yeah. Well, that talking about getting like stuck in the process, that's obviously something that happened a little bit to Steven, because he a few years ago was like, I think he was saying, you know, I can't get in the van and scout locations anymore. Like, he just hit a wall with it.
Right.
But then he got past that. Does that everything, any, like, obviously you're early in your career, but anything you worry about or how you try and prevent that from happening and stay excited about it?
I think time off is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a time off or to time away from being on set now, and it's really great. It's valuable. It's valuable for me. It's kind of maybe a bougie problem to have because a lot of people don't get
like,
fucking months off work, you know, but taking time away and being a person again, I think is, because on set, it's an illusion of reality. You know, people are getting you things all you need, you know, and you can focus on what it is you're doing kind of, but then there's a lot of things that are basically directly working against you to do your job, you know?
It's
strange, but I think time away from it is good.
I was going to ask you about that, G. Like, it sounds like a very, like, Marie Claire question on the surface of it, but, like, how do you relax? What do you enjoy doing when you're not on set? Like, is it... I don't know. I have to spend so much time around the internet that, like, I like to get away and do something, make something with wood, or, like, you know... Is
sure.
It what does time away look like for you, I guess?
I don't know. Like, I get out of the city as much as possible, you know, I don't know what I do. Now it's cooking. Now I'm trying to cook because I feel like I should know how to cook certain things and that I just don't know, like meatloaf. It's been my new thing.
Everyone should be able to make a good meatloaf.
Yeah, and I didn't.
I didn't have that skill yet, but maybe one day.
You should give it a shot. It's surprisingly very simple and involves a lot of ketchup, which I didn't realize. Cooking has been that lately. I don't know. All sorts of shit. Same stuff that you probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Stephen obviously like religiously keeps a list of everything he watches and reads and goes to see. I'd like to do that, but I think I'd be ashamed because there'd be so much trash like in there that I don't want to make that public.
Right.
If you did one of those, like, well, I mean, would you? And what would be on it? Do you? When in your watching habits, is it kind of like watching stuff, thinking about what you'd want to be involved in, or is it like an education thing, or like how do you?
I think it's like an interest, and if it's a director that I'm interested in, I'll consume everything that they're that I don't, you know, like Michael Powell. I'm like in a Michael Powell kick right now. I didn't see any of his movies, and I worked with Thelma Schoomaker, who is his wife on who she was married to Michael Powell. Because she's Scorsese's editor, and she gave me all these Michael Powell movies to watch, and I've seen a lot of movies, but there's some like classic directors that I haven't, I'm like, don't know much of their films, so that's been really fun to like watch really. And there's a whole list of, it's like 60 something movies that I haven't seen of his, and I just watched The Red Shoes. That's an amazing movie if you've never seen it, and a list. But it is kind of random. So I'll follow one person and then it'll lead me to somebody else, maybe an actor who I like in that movie, and then I'll follow that for a while.
There's something quite nice about watching an entire oeuvre and seeing how they develop and change and where their interests lead them and stuff.
Right. And I came at it indirectly. I came at it with Age of Consent, which is, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, that's like discovering the Beatles through like a latter Paul McCartney album. You know, it's a weird way to come into someone's body of work. It's almost kind of at the end in a way, but it's still been really interesting. Starting from that and then going to The Red Shoes is what you're saying. It's interesting to see how someone's developed over time.
I just finally wanted to talk a little bit about Patterson, which is one of my favorite films
of
that year. And I think it was quite like medicinal for me. And I think for a lot of people who I speak to who like it, that, With everything in the world, you know, and the way we live at the moment being so overwhelming, that it was just like appreciating like a cool glass of beer and a walk at nighttime.
Yeah.
Was that part of the attraction for you, that it had a very, apart from the fact it's fucking working with Jim Jarmusch, like
that was it. Same. It's like he sent me a script really as kind of like a formality. But like when we first met, I was, whatever it is, you know, I'm totally on board. And then he's like, well, just read it first and see what you think about it.
Yeah.
And then he sent it to my house and I read it. And as soon as I got it, and then I called him like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Were you familiar with like William Carlos Williams and Ron Padgett's poetry?
Only like from This Is Just to Say, that poem that, but not Ron Padgett or poetry overall. I mean, I got like, I think the probably college version of poetry, where everyone reads it very earnestly and is self-aware that it's poetry, so it has to be read with a kind of reverence, you know.
Yeah.
Or slam poetry sessions where, you know, it's all about like a mole on an ass cheek that, you know, is the shape of Texas or something. You know, it's kind of, I think I got that part of it, but...
Reading poetry is hard. Like, it is,
yeah.
From the page to...
Yeah, it's hard to listen to sometimes because it is read with that kind of tone of, as you know, this is a poem and it's very important. So for me, it's like anytime I hear sentiment, it's like I have an allergy to it. I can't. I don't believe it, or I don't buy it. Or when someone tells me it's supposed to be precious, you know, they don't let me have the experience of it. You know, they're telling me how to feel about it. What was your question? I feel like
I think no, it's
tangent
fine.
About we poetry.
It's fine. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I think
I wasn't familiar with his poems. That, yeah. No, not until that.
Those moment. Kind of poems, they shouldn't be read all like sentimental and solemn anyway, because they're just about the really tiny moments in life, and it's not about reading too much into them. It's just accepting them for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's the same thing with acting. It's like, you know, whenever an actor, whenever I see an actor tell me how I should feel about it, it takes me out of the equation as an audience member. They're telling me what I should be feeling, and well, at least that's my, you know, fucked up idea of things that I like watching is or what I remind myself as an actor is that I'm here, but it's not really about me or me feeling it. It's about, you know, whatever telling the story of the director's story. So it's not my job to feel it. It's for the audiences to feel it. So hopefully that comes across. But Jim is a brilliant filmmaker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, I think we're out of time, but thanks so much for
your
time,
thanks
Adam,
so much.
And
yeah.
Enjoy your downtime.
I'll say hi in the elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll think of more things to do. I have no life outside of
this job. I should cook more, so I applaud you for
right.
doing that.
Yeah. Bring a meatloaf next time.
Yeah.
So that was my chat with Adam. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure you'll agree, a very agreeable man with a very sonorous voice. Actually also managed to talk to Steven Soderbergh for this film, so he'll be coming up on future episodes. And if you want to, you know, keep on top of more of what's going on with the show and you know, get some links, get some context to what we're talking about, we'll be tweeting it out through the Colonel's handle on Twitter. And do please, you know, get in touch with us. Tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like, what you'd like to see. Any questions you might have, you know, I'm on Twitter at Christopher Hooton. And yeah, if you get a chance to hit that follow button, please do. And if you have even more time than hitting the follow button, please do the old rate, review, subscribe, because it's very helpful to us. I know your time is precious, but you're on a train or something. Come on! I'm heading out to Japan in a few days, but I'll be sending a dispatch from there, so we'll catch up then. Alright, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.